Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Bullying is the birthplace of other critical societal problems. How are they related? And what can we do about it? We'll talk about this and more in episode number 42, titled The Link Between Bullying, Domestic Violence, and Sexual Harassment. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you work for every day. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast, not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, we are at the end of October, where we've engaged a lot of discussion about bullying in our podcasts and on social media. And as it turns out, not only is October Bullying Awareness Month, it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month as well. And what is front and center in the news today? Sexual abuse in the workplace. These serious societal issues are all directly related. So let's put it all together. And why do I say serious? Because the emotional damage to individuals who experience these abuses are profound. But before I go on, let me tell you about this coincidence. Last week, my wife Eileen and I were on a return flight from visiting our son in Virginia, and I was on my computer preparing for an upcoming workshop I was giving to therapists when the young woman sitting next to me asked me if I was a therapist. She said she couldn't help seeing the document I was working on. They are very small spaces we share. Well, it turns out I was sitting next to Dr. Roxanne Raffipour, and she's a psychologist working in Oakland, California, whose doctoral research was on the subject of reducing bullying in schools. Amazing, right? So we talked at length about our work, and she shared with me that the evidence is clear that children who are parented with strong, secure attachment to their caregivers are the least likely to bully or to be bullied. They are the most confident in themselves and have the highest level of understanding and empathy for others. We talked a bit about attachment, and I asked her, what's the best advice I can give to parents to support secure attachment to their children? Well, Dr. Raffipour explained that no one is a perfect parent and shouldn't try to be. That just makes parents anxious and less effective. Simply stay connected to children and teenagers, and even if parents don't understand what's going on with them or what they're feeling or why, stay curious. It's the caring about what's going on with our kids that makes all the difference. And just to be clear, don't let caring be confused with not setting limits. Our kids need consistent limits along with consistent positive responses to their emotions and their emotional needs. They don't yet have the skills to make good decisions for themselves. They don't yet have good boundaries, so they need to trust that their caregivers will provide that for them as they grow and internalize those skills. So from Dr. Raffipour, we learn about the importance of attachment and empathy with our kids. And this fits exactly with what middle school principal Dr. Valerie Quant told us about dealing with those who bully at school. Rather than suspend or expel or simply punish, let's use the incident to help a student learn and grow. She recommends using restorative justice's practices. This model emphasizes repairing the harm done. In schools, this often includes meeting with the person who was hurt, hearing about their deeply hurt feelings, and apologizing. And sometimes these activities turn bullies and victims into friends. Think about it. If we are teaching someone who bullies to care about someone else's feelings rather than punish them, they're getting empathy from us. So they're getting empathy, they're giving empathy. That is secure attachment. We also heard from Dr. Quant about the powerful influence of culture on bullying and how the political climate in America is encouraging bullying behavior and how it's showing up in our schools and it's making our kids less safe. That's huge. Is domestic violence an extended form of bullying behavior? Well, domestic violence, which arises from spousal abuse, is in fact an extreme form of bullying. And absolutely, it is an extreme form of bullying. And no one wakes up one morning and starts committing spousal abuse. I've worked with many individuals convicted of domestic violence, and with the exception of those cases where there's a rare incident that careens out of control, most situations are individuals who learned bullying as a way of life much earlier. And is sexual abuse in the workplace a kind of bullying? Absolutely, just ask the victims. It's a way of asserting domination and using that power to hurt others and often to receive sexual gratification. But a huge part of that is simply to assert domination over another. That's a big part of what the abuser gets out of it. And it's not just in the entertainment industry or in politics. It's in any and every industry you can think of. And these acts of abuse of power are all linked. Well, what's a parent or any citizen to do? Well, let's think about some things. Let's start with attachment. As parents, caregivers, and teachers, let's make sure that we're providing an environment for our infants, which is the most important beginning, and our children and our teenagers. Let's provide an environment that communicates to them, your feelings matter. We care about you as an individual. As a culture, and that means family culture, school culture, workplace culture, and political culture, let's talk about our values of mutual respect. Let's be sure that we have clear standards that we articulate and communicate and have accountability to. And that means in our families in particular, where we have the most influence, we need to have important conversations with our children and teens about our values and our standards and be sure our children and teens know that we want to know what's going on with them. We want to know what's going on in their social lives. We want to know how they are feeling. We want to know what's going on their devices. Let's watch movies and TV shows together and let's discuss how the characters in this show feel when things happen to them. And when a child or a teenager violates these values and standards, rather than simply punishing and inflicting pain on them, let's let them learn about the impact that their behavior has on others, and let's give them a path to repair the damage and learn and grow. For instance, let's say your 14-year-old son calls his pesky sister a harmful name, and that's his tendency. Well, that can invite a conversation about his sister's feelings and times maybe that he was called names and how that made him feel. Maybe even times when you, the parent, how you were called names when you were younger and how that made you feel. And then you can work out a way for him to apologize and maybe something he can do to make it up to her and put their relationship in a different place, a more positive place. In our schools, let's make sure that our values and standards are not only signs on the walls. Let's make sure that they're in the discipline policies and the disciplinary actions. You know, our willingness to see each and every student as capable and train our teachers to utilize classroom content and teaching methods that demonstrate and hold students accountable to these values and standards. Let's empower our children and our teens to talk with an adult when they experience something or see something going on where someone is being hurt. And then in our workplaces, let's state the values and standards, but then let's follow up with training and surveys to see what's real. We aren't going to change a huge problem and a culture if we throw some soft words at the problem. We're going to need to commit to real change, and change that we can measure with before and after data. So let's measure what we've got, and then let's make it better. And then finally, in politics, now more than ever, we need mutual respect and understanding. We can't become each other's enemy and then expect to maintain our democracy. We can't raise respectful kids in a climate of disrespect. And finally, maybe empathy is the one ingredient that if we all focused on, we'd make progress on every front. The ability to care about what the other person is thinking and feeling. The ability to see the world through another person's lens. You know, we have to have limits and accountability, that's for sure. But would a teenager bully someone if they could identify with what the other person felt? Would someone abuse their spouse if they could understand their feelings and see the world through their eyes? Would anyone sexually harass another person if they could truly care about the other person's feelings? And would we elect a bully for public office if we valued empathy? If we could focus ourselves, our children, and our society on empathy, we might just be the ticket to end bullying in every form. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and please do feel free to come on over to my website at neildbrown.com and sign up for my weekly newsletter. And there's plenty of stuff there right now that's mighty helpful and plenty more in the pipeline. I'd love to have a chance to answer your question, and you could submit it at neildbrown.com/submit. And please take care of yourselves. You're not going to have empathy for anyone else if you don't have empathy for yourself. And besides, you need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.